views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from, fairly cloudy Seattle here at Hubbard Radio on KKNW AM 1150. You might be listening on the East Coast on 1230 AM WBLQ. You might be listening somewhere across the United States on cable radio network through your televisions, or somewhere on the various stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But I tell you, wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be so glad you tuned in, because I've got a wonderful guest. And we are going to have a conversation about relationships, both with ourselves and with others, in a way that I suspect you've never heard before, unless you happen to be a fan of today's guest. But I'm not going to say who she is quite yet. First, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, Mr. Benny Mathers. You allow us to share these wonderful conversations around the world. Thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I think we have a pretty good relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do we need to work on anything?
No, I don't think so.
I just want to see what you would say.
It goes so smoothly. Yeah,
I think we're doing we're all right, too.
Yeah, yeah. And I think one of the reasons why people enjoy the show is because of the energetics behind it. You know, I'm so into the energy behind mm-hmm. what is, because it's all about the vibration. And it's not just the wonderful guests we have, or even the conversation per se. It's the energetics of the love, the presence, and the allowance of helping people to shift. It's got creating this environment for people to hear on a deep level and help transform their lives, and you're an integral part of that.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, and it's always my pleasure to be here to help you out.
Yeah, and I'm so excited about my guest today. It's funny, because I didn't realize that she had this effect on me early in my stage of transformation and opening up to more, until I started reading her bio and watching some of her videos. I'm talking about Sark, also known as Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy. She is the author of, I think it's like 16 books or something, and she is the co-author with the late Dr. John Waddell of Succulent Wild Love. And it's this beautiful, beautiful book about relationships. Its subtitle is 6 Powerful Habits for Feeling More Love More Often. Now, Sark has been teaching how to use creative expression and how to shift our lives, stepping into ourselves in really deep and fulfilling and expansive ways. And she's been doing this for many, many years. She does it through her art, through her words, and through her spirit, speaking of vibration and transformation. And she and her work have been celebrated by many, from Wayne Dyer to Maya Angelou and Marianne Williamson and many, many more. And I'm a big fan now, and I've read this book, and I'm absolutely a fan. And we are talking about Sark. And Sark, thank you so much for joining us here today. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much to both of you and all of you. And what a wonderful vibration and energetic you're putting into the world.
Oh, thank you. You know, I have to say, originally we had 2 people scheduled for an interview. And I'm so saddened to hear that John, your co-author, your partner, your fiancé, passed away a little over a month ago. And
yes,
so
and if I'm happy to say that he's so active in the non-physical that I'm sure he's here right now.
Oh, absolutely. I feel him. I definitely feel him. In fact, I felt him last night when I was preparing for the show.
Oh, yes. He's been wildly doing all sorts of things. And He would want everyone to know that this is an extremely practical book.
Uh-huh. So, you know, I really loved the way you guys laid this out. And it's a fun book to read because it's got the art, you know, and your beautiful writing, which, you know, I've seen on posters for years. And also there's just the practical information that makes us sort of step back and say, wait a minute, you know, I've had some assumptions about relationships. Maybe they're not correct. What inspired you two to write this book?
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because also on the front of the book it says, a whole new philosophy of love and relationships for everyone.
Uh-huh.
And that's not just couples, and that's what I call, I named soulfully single people.
Uh-huh.
And it really, the six habits are three of my three core teachings of my life and his three core teachings of his life,
uh-huh.
and we married those into the six powerful habits. And so it's really two people's life work in one book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the things that we learned from what we called our growth relationships, the ones that most of us have. And
uh-huh.
it's where it's bumpy and it's loving, but there's tension and it's a lot of work and you're always processing. And
And
those are fine. But, you know, there's the succulent wild love, which is what we're defining as. You know, you're happy to see your partner, and they're happy to see, you're happy. You're generally happy.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when I first met him over three and a half years ago, and almost 4 years ago now, he told me that we were walking on the promenade deck of a cruise ship. We were on a metaphysical cruise when we met.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know, I had the most wonderful marriage, and I was with her for 10 years, and the honeymoon never ended.
Wow.
And he said the only reason it did was because she died.
Aww.
And he said, I want you to know that I'm qualified to adore you.
Oh, how beautiful.
And I thought, that's it. I'm marrying him.
And I really,
it was bizarre. Within a day, we knew we would get married. And when within a month, he had moved across the country and into my apartment where I had never lived with anyone.
Wow. That's intense. But you must have... I mean, you are such a successful and whole person in your own right that you must have just had such deep knowingness to allow that to happen.
Yes, yes. And I like to say we're all here to be like full cups of self-love, sharing the overflow with each other in the world.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and a lot of people are going around half-empty trying to get filled.
Yes.
So they go to their partner, fill me, and their partner's like, oh, fill me.
Uh-huh.
And everybody gets exhausted and, you know... So John immediately said, I'm offering you a no-compromise relationship. So this is one of his three core teachings. And I said, well, that sounds great because I've never been good at compromise. And I said, what are we going to do instead? He said, we're going to create joyful solutions that are going to be better than what either one of us would have thought up on our own. And I said, well, that's great. Do they work? And I'm a believer and I'm very positive, but I'm also a skeptic and I can get very critical and negative.
Uh-huh.
So I really was suspicious.
Sure.
So I was, you know, and so I'm here to tell you they're market tested. I mean, you heard me say he moved in a month after we met. I didn't even know him. And he was living in my apartment.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, through Joyful Solutions, we never had any, it was the easiest, it was everything I ever dreamed of what living with someone could be like.
Uh-huh.
And it was fantastic. And we created hundreds and thousands very easily. They're so easy and fun, and they're so creative, and most people do them already without knowing it. And we all do them for things that aren't a big deal, you know, which movie to go to, which restaurant to go to.
Sure.
But it's when things get a little difficult that people get into scarcity, and they clamp down, and they clutch on, and they say, I have to have this.
Yes.
And that's when we block out the joyful solutions. And so there's nothing wrong with the compromise. It just doesn't go far enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to give a quick example. After John moved in, I had these neighbors that had wanted me to cut tree branches So I want to emphasize that these work for everybody, not just your partner and not just in romantic situations.
Sure, all relationships then.
All relationships. Uh-huh. And so here were these neighbors who had wanted me to cut tree branches for years. And I have this little cottage, and I wanted to have the canopy of the tree branches as for privacy.
Uh-huh.
So they would write these kind of snippy emails, and I was basically avoiding them and blocking them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would begrudgingly every few years cut some, you know, allow some branches to be cut. But I really wasn't, you know, this whole subject, yeah, I was just, I can't let them have their way. That was basically my stance.
Right.
It's embarrassing now, but there you go.
No, but we can be very attached to something like that where it's about privacy, where it's about, you know, some part of nature that we really appreciate.
Yes.
So I get that tree loving.
Yes, thank you. So all of a sudden they sent another email. John had moved in, and I said, oh, no, here come these neighbors again. And he said, oh, great, let's do a joyful solution.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, honey, these aren't those kind of people. and he said, no, remember, it doesn't have anything to do with them. It's about you.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, okay, maybe I'll write them. He said, oh, no, we're going to go visit them. I said,
oh,
what?
Wow.
Visit them? Now, these are 20-year-plus neighbors now, and tensions ongoing for all these years.
Right.
And basically, I ended up agreeing, and we went to visit them. And there was tension. They greeted us kind of stiffly at the door, and I went up into their house, and I'd never been in their home.
Wow,
I went in their kitchen, and all I could see was tree branches.
Uh-huh.
They had no light.
Oh.
And I said, oh, my goodness, you have no light. She said, I know, that's why I wanted you to agree to cut some of these tree branches. I said, oh, good heavens, let's come up with a joyful solution right now. Let's leave some of the branches down there for my cottage. Let's take these out of the canopy.
Uh-huh.
And then I turned to her and I said, you know what? I want to apologize to you. I have blocked you, and I have not helped you get what you wanted for all these years, and I am really sorry.
Aww.
And she started to cry, and I started to cry,
uh-huh.
And we hugged, and they invited us to stay for wine, and we're friends now.
Oh, that's great.
What a great story. Yeah, the thing about joyful solutions, and we teach in the book, of course, how to do this step by step. The thing is that everybody gets what they want.
Right.
And you start out helping the other person get what they want instead of trying to just get what you want.
Mm, interesting.
And it changes everything.
I know we've got lots more to learn about this approach, including the other five habits as well. And I'm also, when we come back, I'm going to want you to explain what you mean by succulent and why that's such an important word in your work and for this book. But we have to go to a quick break. More with Sark when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Love has been a friend to me, a friend my whole life through, always saw the best.
Access Consciousness is coming back to Seattle this April for three amazing events. Mark your calendars. April 20th through the 22nd is the Access Consciousness Body Classes, created by Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane here, facilitated by Dr. Glenna Rice. Explore verbal processes and hands-on bodywork that will unlock the tension, resistance, and dis-ease of the body by shifting energy dynamically. April 23rd through the 25th is the Advanced Access Body Class with Gary Douglas. What if you could undo a whole lot of limitations that you have locked into your body and create an alteration of the way your body functions? Then, on April 26th at 7 p.m., join Gary Douglas for the Abuse Hold class. This is the first time ever that this dynamic process is being presented in a class format. Find out more about these Access Consciousness April events in Seattle by visiting transformation.events. That's transformation.events.
Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is a complete approach to wellness. Serenity Bliss offers integrated therapies for whole body health, from facials to massage, from laser skin treatments to herbal wellness, from chiropractic care to energy healing. We work with teens who want to put their best face forward, adults of all ages who want to maintain that youthful glow, and anyone who wants to enjoy vibrant well-being head to toe. Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is bringing the European approach to restoring natural beauty and wellness here to the Seattle area. Located on the east side, off the beaten path, yet just minutes from the freeway. If you'd like to experience the joy of relaxation, skincare excellence, and total wellness, and come experience your serenity bliss. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. That's SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com or call 206-229-0086.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
When I was young, and both of us were blind, we made it through the careless years. Love has been a friend of mine.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Sark. She is the co-author of Succulent Wild Love, Six Powerful Habits for Feeling More Love More Often. Now, I love this word succulent, and I know, Sark, that this is a word that you've used before in your teachings and in other books. What is it about the word succulent that's important for us as human beings to learn from?
Yes. Well, first I'll say that a succulent is a plant that nourishes itself from the inside, and it gathers its own nutrients and feeds it to itself.
Ooh.
So in that way, it is self-sustaining.
Right.
And then I'll tell you that many years ago, I was walking in San Francisco where I live, and etched into the cement, someone had written, succulence is powerful.
Ooh.
And so I stood on that square in the sidewalk and said, I am a succulent wild woman, and I will write about that. And then I collapsed in fear on the pavement and didn't have any idea how I could do that.
Uh-huh.
And did, of course, publish a book called Succulent Wild Woman.
Right.
And then, you know, with John, published Succulent Wild Love. And then, of course, wild, especially in relationship, but in life, we want to be wild. We want to be free.
Yes.
We want to be untamed. We want to be, you know, I mean, wild. I just, I love that word. And it also, you know, connotes, like, what can we, most of us want to do a lot more things that are unusual than we give ourselves permission to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that we're both freedom-seeking and fearful of actually having that freedom.
Exactly. Well said. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I call it, another description I have is adventure amnesia.
Uh-huh.
People know that something's missing, but they don't know what it is.
Oh,
and
I like
that. And that something is most often amnesia.
Uh-huh.
I mean, adventure, you know, like, I want to have more adventures. I want to have more fun.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel more alive. I mean, we're just put here to be alive and love.
Yes. So what is it about relationships that aren't about love?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, fear.
Okay.
I mean, I'm the biggest fraidy cat in the world. I mean, I had lists and lists of all the things that I was afraid of about relationships. I was afraid of love.
Uh-huh.
I was afraid of someone, you know, living in my house. I was afraid of losing my identity. I was afraid. I mean, I'm probably
sure.
The most fearful of love person you ever had met. I used to be.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because when I see you presenting on stage, you are so good at sharing your love, that love that you've been nurturing within yourself, that full cup.
Yes.
And so, but you say you were very fearful of love.
Oh, yeah, especially from another. Like, what if, you know, what if you lost it? I mean, one of my big fears, what if I fall madly in love and then they die?
Uh-huh.
And that's what just happened.
Oh, how awful, yes.
And right next to that one was, what if they become really ill and debilitated and I have to take care of them? Well, uh-huh. That happened too.
Right.
And so I'm here to say I lived two of my greatest fears that also became my biggest blessings, because I learned that love has no end, and love is stronger than death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so there, we've talked about joyful solutions some, and I know that we could probably do an entire show on that.
Oh, yeah.
But you've got a total of 6 habits between the two of your teachings.
Yes. Yes. And so the next one John told me from these are his 3 core teachings now. Uh-huh. First is joyful solutions.
Right.
Then he told me, I promise to see you as perfect, and any way that I don't is my responsibility.
Ooh. That is deep and complex.
Oh, yes. And I thought that sounded great because I loved the idea of him seeing me as perfect until I realized he would expect me to see him as perfect. And I had been the original and consummate list maker and grudge holder. And my younger brother would often tease me. I'd get into a relationship with someone and they'd say, so how many list items on this guy?
Uh-huh.
And I'd say,
dear.
Oh, there's just 4, uh-huh. You know. He just needs to be neater and he just needs to be more communicative and he just, you know. And these were things that I thought people should change so that I would feel better.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm here to tell you, I never had a list on John. I tried to get a list about the cancer that he got. You know, I tried to turn that into an item,
right,
you know.
Right.
Like, he should not have gotten cancer.
Uh-huh.
But I never got a list item on this guy because we did this wonderful work of, you know, that we teach again in the book. Like how to do love translations, how to translate through the eyes of love,
uh-huh.
How to tell micro-truths so you're not storing up grudges of any kind.
Oh, and that's a huge one.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really as clean as you go,
right.
You know.
Right. So, but let's get back to seeing somebody through the eyes of perfection.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Let's be sure to say what that is. Okay, so it's not egoic. It's not. It's the perfection of each of us as we are. We are born perfect. We are perfect. It's not that you don't have preferences. It's not that people, you don't want them to change. Those things all exist.
Uh-huh.
But you can see them, you know, it's really about unconditional love. John was an unconditional love practitioner.
Wow.
And he saw me through the eyes of that.
Uh-huh.
And I truly felt more perfect than I've ever felt in my life, more perfectly loved, more perfectly myself. I experienced that, and I'm telling you, it's profound.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, because I was always either self-critical or critical of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And it really showed me there's a whole new way. And Jeannie, his wife that he was with for 10 years, saw him that way. And he was steeped in that for 10 years before he met me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we can start to feel that for ourselves through somebody else's eyes, perhaps, but, you know, feel that for ourselves, then that shifts things for us. Because first of all, from my perspective, when you have the vibration, the energetics, the of allowing and acceptance, then that allows for huge transformation. That's what's necessary for change. But if you're in that place of resistance or things aren't right, then you stay stuck.
Yes. Oh, yes. And people stay stuck their whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. So that seems so incredibly powerful.
Yes.
Okay. So I know it probably feels fabulous to experience, to be on the receiving end of that. How do you feel that for somebody else within the context of having that list of, I really wish they were neater and I wish they paid better attention to me, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we wrote about this in the book, and if I recall, Jeannie made 3 decisions so that she could unconditionally love. And so one of them was nobody had to change for her to feel good.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's powerful.
Nobody had to change for her to feel good. And then the next one was, it's not her job or role to figure out what was right or wrong for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it isn't that you can't let someone know your preferences, but you don't get to say what's right or wrong for them.
Uh-huh.
You should eat this. You should exercise more.
Right.
You should go play video games less, whatever,
uh-huh.
you know. Three, yeah, it would be, it's focusing on what pleases you about the person.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it sounds like, oh, yeah, we do that. Well, we don't. We focus for 5 minutes on what pleases us, and then we spend 55 minutes talking about what displeases us.
Right, right.
You know, because you can't look at something you dislike and feel loving at the same time.
Uh-huh. So within this context of seeing somebody as perfect, does that mean that we shouldn't be setting boundaries?
Oh, no, it means very much that we need boundaries. In fact, we need them more than ever. That's the third one. John said to me, I promise to see you as self-loving, with self-lovingly separate with beautiful boundaries.
Oh.
And this was wonderful for me because I wanted my autonomy.
Yes.
I wanted someone who would support my freedom, not someone who was going to kind of trap me.
Right.
And someone who would respect my boundaries. I mean, for example, I enjoy watching a lot of television. I watch what I call transformational television,
uh-huh.
and I really enjoy it. And other people had made all kinds of judgments and assessments of, you watch a lot of TV.
Oh,
well,
dear.
That's a lot of TV. And John, it was none of his business. He would say, oh, it's none of my business how much TV you watch. It has
right.
nothing to do with me.
Right.
And, you know, again, if he wanted to spend more time with me, let's say I was watching more TV than, you know, let's say, well, I wish you weren't watching a show tonight. I wish we were going out.
Uh-huh.
He would express that in
right.
some loving way, but
uh-huh.
not through the eyes of judgment or, you know, there were no boundaries. And all of a sudden he could just say anything about me and my life and how I lived it.
Uh-huh.
And we detail this in the book. There's an acronym that we call SPAR, S-P-A-R.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're all deserving of. There's four things. The SPAR stands for security, privacy, activity, and respect.
Mm-hmm.
And the activity is inner and outer activities. So meaning you don't get to say what someone else should be spending their time doing.
Right, right. And I think within what I call the New Age community, within the consciousness community, there is quite a bit of judgment, you know,
oh, yeah.
of how somebody is living their life, whether they meditate or not, whether they're doing yoga, you know, what they're eating, what they're putting into their mouths. I mean, there is a lot of judgment, which is toxic.
Fundamentalist.
Yeah.
I mean, it's essentially saying this is the right way and you're doing it the wrong way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to go to another quick break, but we'll continue this wonderful conversation with Sark in just a few moments.
And it's nothing like I've ever known before. Love is an open door.
Discover the eight things the elements of prosperity want you to know. Lynn Brown is hosting a life-transforming, soul-expanding evening on April 30th featuring guest speaker and radio host Dr. Pat Basile. Lynn was guided to make this a by-donation event for entrance, and all proceeds will be donated towards uplifting the homeless community. For more information and to get tickets, visit eventbrite.com. That's eventbrite.com and type Lynn Brown in the search.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Pat. Many of you have heard me talk about the Lyme disease epidemic going on right now in the world. I want to tell you about my friends at Results RNA. They have now created an entire Lyme support system for immune system support, detoxification, rejuvenation, and neurological healing. Please visit ResultsRNA.com to learn more. And for first-time orders, you'll receive a special 10% discount. All you have to do is type in Dr. Pat at checkout.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, Genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience, where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, Stellar Conversations to Illuminate Your Journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I am having a conversation today with the wonderful Sark. She is the co-author of Succulent Wild Love with the late Dr. John Waddell, and we're talking about the 6 powerful habits for feeling more love more often. Now, Sark, you know, we were talking about this concept of seeing somebody through the eyes of perfection and then but also needing to set boundaries. Can you give us an example of the nuts and bolts of the combination of those two things within the context of a relationship?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about it a little bit already in the last segment, but it's really about doing and being who you are and what you want to do while also loving others requires boundaries. And so often people either have too many boundaries, you know, like they have boundaries, they think of boundaries as fences or walls that nobody's going to get through,
right,
or else they don't have any, and the person is just trampling all over the boundaries that aren't even there. So it's really about, you know, like, how do you like to live, and what do you need to live? And, you know, we always hear that wonderful expression, fences, good fences make good neighbors.
Right, right, right.
But I think also, you know, good gates make good neighbors.
So you
can have a fence and you can have a gate in the fence. You can say things like, my boundary here is that, you know, often in relationships, we extend ourselves past what we're really comfortable doing.
Sure.
Like we go to a party and we make something for a potluck, or we bring a gift and we don't really want to.
We say yes instead of no.
Yeah. And so a good thing for everyone to remember is the conscious uses of the words yes and no make more room for love. It's not about trying to say yes more often. It's about saying, you know, yes when you want to and no when you want to, and having them be the same. You know, so often we think, oh, yes is the answer everybody wants. Well, no, not if it's trampling over your boundaries and you're going to be crabby and tired when you get there.
Right, right.
And so for everyone to kind of see what are their boundaries, what do they want those to be, and keep on adjusting it. That's the other thing. You know, we get in relationships and we think, oh, it's just going to be like this now.
Yes.
I remember I said to John, oh, so that's how it's going to be. I can't remember. Oh, it was something about luggage, and he left something. He didn't remember to pick it up or something. I said, oh, so that's how it's going to be. And he turned and he said, no, it's not how it's going to be. I just forgot to pick up the bag, you know. And it was a wonderful reminder, like, that you can really keep on fine-tuning and adjusting and speaking about. This is something people often don't speak about, their boundaries.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because I know some middle-aged women who are divorced, and they've been in some relationships and stuff, but when they think in terms of their ideal mate, they think in terms of having them either be in a separate bedroom or even a separate house.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Does this mean...
Well, and it's not a bad idea. You know, I mean, this is a great example. I mean, when I was a child, I mean, there had been abuse in my family, so it was pretty obvious why I was doing this. But I said, Mom, if I ever get married, there have to be two houses, and there's a system of lights, and when the red light is on, he can't come in. And John and I, actually, there's a photo of our book, there's a photo of our bed in the book, because we slept in what could be called elegant adult bunk bed.
Yes, I love that picture.
Yeah, and we decided to show that because I had built that before I met him, but I sleep best alone. I just do. I'm a lucid dreamer. I do a lot of meditating. I just am better sleeping by myself.
Right.
And he was at first dismayed by this, and within 2 days, he had so thoroughly adapted, he said, I mean, he would never go back.
Interesting.
He said, yeah. And, I mean, we were fantastic lovers, and there was plenty of lovemaking going on, but we just didn't sleep in the same bed. And so I think that people can make, this is what a succulent wild relationship is, make a love relationship is one where you feel really good, and if you want to live in separate houses, you can make that work.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's funny because we often think about relationships based on societal and family and friends' expectations of what it's supposed to look like.
Oh, exactly. Like when his friend wanted to see where he had moved to, and he deliberately didn't show him the bedroom because he was embarrassed about the two beds. And, you know, then it became a great joke, you know. But initially, you know, what's his friend going to think?
Right, right. Okay, so we've talked about John's, you know, three contributions to the succulent wild love. Can you share about your pieces that got married together with his to create this book?
Yes,
and this process?
Absolutely. So my three core teachings, the first is what I call the inner wise self. This is the part of all of us that you could think of it as higher self, pure positive energy, Holy Spirit. Doesn't really matter what the words are, but it's the part of you that loves you unconditionally, that is inside every person. And it's your best relationship mentor, too. And a lot of people, most people know they have this part, but most people are not consulting with this part every day about everything about their life. And so I teach you how to do that, take you through a process, and it's profound. John had the advantage of having his mother be a channel who was teaching people how to communicate with their inner wise selves. So he came in already doing that. And so he did that. Also, we give examples of what I call inner wise self love notes that you write to yourself. And then there's other wonderful ways and incredible results from that. And then the next one that I brought in is inner critic care and transformation. So this is about the negative critical voices inside and how to transform your relationships with them so that they don't run your life.
Right. And it's funny because when we get to be sort of quiet, if we spend time in the first thing in the morning, say, and just being present with what's going on inside, or we pause within our day and just sort of pay attention, it's shocking the kind of critical, you know, jabs the critic is making to ourselves. It's like it's horrible.
Oh my God! If all of us, if we went around the world and we were hearing everyone's inner critics, we would all fall to the ground sobbing and never get up. No, it's true.
They're horrible.
Yeah, and they need supervision. And so your adult self and your inner wise self are meant to be in charge of your life, not inner critics. But most people have inner critics in charge of their life.
Right.
And so they don't know. They think it's just how they are. They're so merged with their inner critics. They're like, oh, I've always been a perfectionist. Oh, I'm just a procrastinator. That's who I am. Right. No, those are inner critics. And so they're not bad. They're not wrong. It's conditioning that was installed in you when you were young, and it's grown out of proportion to who you are now. The other thing is, you're never fighting with your partner. You're always fighting with an inner critic.
That is so profound. So give me an example.
Well, so, yeah, basically, you know, you have these critical thoughts, and you just put them out there, and then you literally create your partner saying back to you the thing that your inner critic is saying. So it's it's intense. Like, you know, and we were at the airport one time, and it had to do with suitcases again. And John picked up a suitcase and said, "Oh, this is my suitcase," and said, "Oh, this is really heavy."
Uh-huh.
And it ended up with me saying, "Are you saying that I'm too heavy?"
Oh, wow.
Like, and it had nothing to do with that.
Right, right.
And he finally said, "Honey, who are you fighting with?"
Uh-huh.
And I said, "I'm fighting with the voice that thinks I'm too fat and I should have smaller bags."
Uh-huh. and if that inner critic weren't saying anything about that, then you might say, "Yeah, that's why I let you pick it up, honey."
Exactly. Because when we aren't triggered, we're not upset.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's amazing, like, the freedom that you feel when you do this work. It changes everything.
So, you know, when you're in conflict, I mean, we have a tendency within relationships to, you know, either put up the walls and retreat or go through the jabbing of the shame and blame kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get into the situation where you're wanting to do that, you're wanting to lash out, or you are lashing out, and how do you transform that into shifting in the moment to seeing what's going on within?
Oh, yeah. Well, that leads to my third core teaching, which is what I call the inner feelings care system.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how to manage your feelings with yourself before you ever bring them to anyone else.
Ooh, I love that.
Oh, yeah. It's profound. It's powerful.
Yeah.
And every man listening should just be running to get this book because so many men are the recipients of untended feelings by women.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they're coming at him with, you know, 50 different feelings, and the man is like, "What in the hell happened?" You know,
uh-huh. I
thought we were just going out. Yeah.
Yeah, and they want to, you know, defend themselves as opposed to allowing those feelings to come out and explore them.
Well, and also because it's too much.
Yeah.
It's like, here comes, you know, whether it's men or women, handing someone a huge batch of untended feelings,
uh-huh.
you can't navigate.
Right.
You're like, okay, these are a lot of feelings. You need to go feel them.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach people a 5-second method and a 5-minute method that you basically do daily. You can do it in writing. It's very simple, but it's really powerful. And you tend to your own feelings. And once, it's like brushing your teeth or taking vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start doing this, you have such a different experience of your feelings. And so, consequently, you're able to feel better a lot more often.
Love that. We're going to have to take another quick break, but more of a Stark when we return here in a few moments.
Find out what this life is worth through the books and battles of time. I've made up my mind. I don't condemn, I don't convert.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Hey everyone, meet my friends at the Maca team. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is known worldwide for its huge array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the Maca team is here to bring you the best maca the Peruvian mountains has to offer. Yellow maca, used to promote endurance, vitality, fertility, hormone health, and much more, is on sale now. I love it. Visit themacateam.com to order yours now. Themacateam.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com. Welcome back to the Christine Epcher Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. We are talking with Sark about succulent wild love, and I'm just so enjoying looking at the potential for relationships to be very, very different than what we've been taught, what's our knee-jerk reaction. And, you know, Sark, before we get into the conversation further, can you please share with our listeners how they can find their way to this work, how they can find their way to you and your events? And I understand you've also got a free gift to give people.
Oh, yes, yes. They can go to planetsark.com, planetsark, S-A-R-K, /more love now.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and they'll be taken to a 7-day love accelerator.
Ooh.
And these are short videos from me that they will love, that go into some of what we've been talking about. Going to help them identify their unique love print.
Mm.
It's like a blueprint, only it's a love print. See what's working for you in love and what you'd like to change.
Uh-huh.
Adjusting your relationship to inner critics and connecting to your inner wise self.
So
planetsark.com /more love now, and that's free.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, you know, there are a lot of people out there who don't have mates. They've had bad experiences or good experiences for a while that it turned into a lot of pain. What advice do you have for people who are seeking a soulmate, so to speak?
Yes. Well, I immediately say become soulfully single, which means you are full up. You are a full cup of self-love. You do not engage in a relationship with another person until you are living that way.
Uh-huh.
And you can use a book like Succulent Wild Love to help you. You can use other books. I mean, you know, it's, you can use other tools and ways, but the point is you must practice with self-love before you think you can love another.
Mm-hmm.
This whole idea that we have of, I mean, you can do it with another person, but boy, it's a lot harder.
Uh-huh.
And I'm so excited now that there's more single people than there are married people.
Right. And it's not a bad thing. You know, I mean, I've been becoming single over the last couple of years after being married for decades. And it can feel really, really good.
Oh, there's so many wonderful things. And just like there's wonderful things about relationship, but I think we have this idea that if you get into a relationship with another person, you will have more love.
Uh-huh.
You know? And the truth is, you'll have more love when you have more love inside.
Right.
So whether or not you're soulfully single or wanting a relationship with someone, it is your job to fill yourself up with love and draw love to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not someone else's job to fill your half-empty cup.
Right, right. So let's say that you, you know, follow these six powerful habits and you're evolving so that you are a full cup, okay? And you get into a relationship with somebody else. Does that mean you're not going to have any bumpy times?
No, of course not. Uh-huh. But you will have, the thing is, we all need to feel all the feelings, but we don't need to spend so much time in the negative ones. So when you practice with these powerful habits, and they're not easy, by the way, but practice is the key. When you're practicing with those, you'll feel better more often, and you'll feel negative less often, and you won't have to stay in bad feelings. You know, instead of days and weeks or hours, it can become minutes and seconds.
Mm-hmm. So can you give us an example of what you mean by staying in the negative feelings for a long time?
Yeah, like here's a great one. John and I were getting ready to go out, and I wanted him to compliment me. I thought I looked really pretty, and I felt that it was his job to compliment me. And so I began prancing around and trying to get his attention and sort of, you know, and he's a very logical type of guy and very calm, and he wasn't paying any attention. He just kind of looked over and said, well, I'm going to go down to the car. And I just hated him. I thought, oh, he's this stupid man that is not noticing how good I look. And why can't he be the type of man that's very, that will just compliment me? Mm-hmm. And I had this whole story going on.
Right.
And so I said, okay, I'll meet. And then I suddenly remembered my inner wise self. And my inner wise self reminded me what to do. And it did it in my head. Uh-huh. And I said, honey, go downstairs. I'll meet you in a few minutes. And I took myself to the mirror. And I said, oh, my goodness, you look so pretty. Aww. I love your sparkly eyeshadow. And that color green is just wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And you are so loving. And your eyes are so kind. And what a darling person you are.
Uh-huh.
And what a dear, dear, darling woman you are. And I proceeded to just infuse myself with so much love. And I came skipping down the stairs, and I came outside, and he looked up from the trunk, and he said, hey, you look great.
Oh.
And I said, thank you. I feel great. And it was nice to hear, but I didn't need it anymore.
Right.
And
you were
looking
for somebody else to fill up that cup that was partially empty. Yeah.
That's right. And so, yeah, and so that's all of our opportunity. And we're meant to share love. We're not meant to share all this other stuff that we spend too much time. And that's what everyone always says when someone dies. Let's not do that anymore. You know, let's not be angry and critical and picky of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we forget, and it's okay. But
right.
That's why it's called practice. We forget and remember, we forget and remember.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in that situation, you could have just gotten in the car and you could have felt hurt and resentful
all evening. Yeah. And had many times in my other relationships. Yeah.
Sure.
I lived that way. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I get it too. Let me tell you. So, you know, Sark, you fell in love and co-created this fabulous relationship and wrote about it. And the book comes out and, you know, you have this tragic loss of your co-author, your partner, your fiancé. Have you felt John's presence? And how do you have a relationship that continues?
Yes. And I did something so wonderful. We had a holy hour. I'm calling it the holy hour the day before he died. And I said, let's make three things that you'll do when you're dead so that I will know it's you.
Okay.
And I'm not sharing what those are specifically, but he did all three of them the next day.
Oh, wonderful.
And I worked with a channel who channels people who have died. And she immediately said, John wants to know if you like that he did the three things all the next day. And yeah, and I said, yeah, I do. But honestly, I think I might have willed those to happen, even though they were intricate things that I couldn't have done on my own.
Uh-huh.
Even though, but I, you heard me say, I'm a skeptic.
Sure, yeah.
So the night before, we'd had a party at our home. This was after he had died. And I wanted kids and people and food and music. Uh-huh. I wanted to fill the home with love and
right.
people. So here comes my friend and her little daughter, Evie Rose, who's 2 years old, mm-hmm. who comes up the steps and see they're hanging on the coat rack are John's coats. Uh-huh. And she reaches out and touches one and says, "What's this?" And I said, "That's John's jacket."
Uh-huh.
And then she reached behind and touched another one and said, "What's this?" I said, "That's John's jacket, too."
Mm-hmm.
And her mom and I traded kind of a poignant, oh, child touching John's jacket look.
Sure.
And the next day, I'm on the phone with the channel who's channeling John. And he said to me, "Does she like that I did the three things?" And then I said, "Well, I think I might have willed them."
Uh-huh.
And the channel starts laughing. And she says, "John says, didn't she see what I did with Evie Rose and the jackets?"
Oh my goodness.
And I couldn't, there's no explanation for that one.
Yeah,
and this channel didn't know Evie Rose or a party or
uh-huh,
jackets or anything.
Oh.
There was no way. And so now that's it.
Mm-hmm.
There's just stuff happening every
yeah.
day.
Beautiful.
And I used to think, Christine, that people who, they're still with their non-physical partner. They,
uh-huh.
I would think, get a grip.
Uh-huh,
you know, the person
uh-huh.
died. You're obviously just grasping after them. What a sad case.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I really did.
Yeah, and there he is. And we've got to go. But I want to thank you, Sark, for joining us here. It's a fabulous book, Succulent Wild Love. Go buy it. Live it. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.